Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you. Merry Christmas. And if you've got a copy of the... I'm getting instructed. That's my wife, Laura. I give her some love. I've never been interrupted like that before in the middle of my talk. But I can't even share with you what she said, but it's... Well, now I better, because you're all like, what is she saying? That's embarrassing. No, she was just telling me that, I'll just say it this way, that, if you're here for the first time, thank you. Thank you for being here. We're glad you're here. And that was just weird. I don't know, that whole thing, that whole exchange was awkward, but that's okay. I love you, baby. I love you. You're the best, you know? You don't. These people don't matter. It don't matter. It's about you and me, baby. It's about you and me. That's right. All right. Isaiah, where was I? Isaiah chapter 9. If you've got a copy of the scriptures, let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. If you do not have a Bible with you, we have free ones in the lobby for you. We'd love for you to have one of those. We also have a Lord's Prayer Guide. So if you're like, I don't know how to read the Bible, I don't know where to start, that Lord's Prayer Guide will be a big help to you. YouVersion is also an app. You'll see a lot of people with their phones out. They're on the YouVersion app. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation today. We are in our Advent series. Our Advent series called Wrapped for Christmas, The Swaddled Gift. Most of you probably know that. You think of that word swaddled. If you're like, what is that about? That comes from Luke chapter 2 in the good old King James Version. I don't know how many of you raised on King James, but King James Version, which says that Mary wrapped Jesus in swaddling clothes. And so during this Advent season, during this series, we've been talking about how Jesus came to wrap us in strength. That was week one. And we talked about him wrapping us in comfort. And last week, Pastor Eric preached and talked about being wrapped in grace, in God's grace. Today, I want to talk to you about being wrapped in God's love. What does it mean to be wrapped in God's love? So if you have your Bible, let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah, if you're new to the scriptures, Isaiah actually is a prophet who lived about 700 years before Jesus was born. And in the Old Testament are a lot of different prophets, and they prophesied about a Messiah who was going to come and save Israel. And during this series, we've been looking at different places in the book of Isaiah where he talks about Jesus, the coming of Jesus, who God is. And today, we're going to look specifically at one of the probably the most well-known prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. Of course, we know that to be Jesus. Jesus, the promised Messiah. And so Isaiah says, and when they talk about this prophecy, by the way, what they're saying is, here's what you need to look for. So this is what you need to look for when he comes so you'll be able to identify who it is. So Isaiah chapter 9, and beginning in verse 6, he says this about Jesus. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government is going to rest on his shoulders. He's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace, it'll never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. Let's pray together before we sit down. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you speak to us in this room? We all bring a lot of stuff, and we need to know about your love today. Church, I encourage you to pray for those that are around you, in front of you, behind you, next to you, whether you know them or you don't know them. You don't have to pray out loud, but just say a silent prayer for them because they're carrying something. And you may know what that is, but you may not. But all of us come in here carrying stuff. And this is a place where we want the Holy Spirit to come in and lift those burdens off of us. This is why Jesus came. And then just pray for yourself. Pray for your heart, your mind, and your soul to be open to what God wants to speak to you today. He has you here for a reason. So Holy Spirit, would you come in Jesus' name? And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, you can sit down. The word love gets thrown around a lot these days, but the word love means a lot of different things in a lot of different situations to a lot of different people. I mean, we will say, you know, like, oh, I love that Christmas song, you know? Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. Some of y'all are like, I didn't love that. I did not love that. Yeah, or maybe this weekend you're like, oh, I love Avatar. Love it. Love it. I got to tell you, me too, I love sitting for 3.5 hours without being able to go to the bathroom. I love that. Or we'll say, you know, I love this TV show. I love this restaurant. Or here's something everyone at this in this church says. I love Aunt Mary. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't know Aunt Mary, you need to get to know Aunt Mary. So Laura and I, we share this mutual love for New York City at Christmas time. It's just so beautiful at Christmas time. We've been sharing these videos from Instagram back and forth of like, have you seen this? And they're putting up the tree in Rockefeller Center, and here's the lights here and the lights there. And it's been her dream since she was a little girl that one day she might go to New York City at Christmas time and visit Macy's department store. That's what she wanted to do. That's all she cared about. And I was able to make that dream come true just a couple of years ago. We went to New York City, and I remember when she walked in, she was about 6 feet in front of me, and she was just like this. She was like, I mean, it's just in awe of everything. I couldn't see her face, but I knew she's crying. She's crying. And she turns around. She's got tears running down her face. I'm like, you didn't cry at our wedding. So as you can only imagine, she got completely decked out for this trip. This is what she was wearing for that trip. Huh? How about that coat? Huh? Who loves their wife now? Huh? Yeah, actually, that coat is not from Macy's, okay? It is just to be clear, that coat is not from Macy's. I love my wife, but I don't love credit card payments. So we were there, and it was colder than we anticipated, and we didn't bring enough winter wear. And so I love my wife. We found this thrift store, and she got that coat, ladies, for $20. Yeah. Some ladies in here get excited about a bargain. There's some men in here get excited about a bargain, right? When you're $20, sold. Love you, baby. And I love the bag because that's like one of those Macy's bags. And it's a huge bag. And this is my wife, as only she could do it. She goes into Macy's. She buys the cheapest thing she can find. And she says, give me the biggest bag that you've got. So we all have things that we love, and love can mean something different depending on what you're talking about. So what does it mean when someone says, God loves you? Like, what does that mean? Well, the Apostle Paul helps us with this a little bit. He wrote a letter to a church in Ephesus, and he says this in this letter. He says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is, and say this with me, what? Too great to understand fully. Here's the thing, you may not understand God's love. I don't know that any of us ever really can, that's what Paul is saying here, but what my hope and my prayer is for you today is that you'll experience God's love. Like that coat that Laura had on in New York City, that Jesus will wrap you today in his love and you will experience maybe his love for the first time, or the first time in a long time. This is what the prophet Isaiah was trying to convey to us in his prophecy about the coming Messiah. Let's go back to verse 6 of chapter 9. And this is what he says about Jesus, who is coming. He says, for a child is born to us, say this with me, a son is given to us. That's Jesus, Son of God. Fast forward 700 years, Jesus has got a disciple. That disciple's name is John. And after Jesus ascended to heaven, John wrote a letter about Jesus' life and his experience with Jesus. And in the very beginning of that letter that he wrote in that Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, he said it this way. So the Word, which we know that's a capital W, by the way, the Word, that's Jesus, became human. In other words, God came in the flesh. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. We declare that today as a church. It says he made his home among us. I like what Eugene Peterson said in the Message translation. He said this, he moved into the neighborhood. You ever gotten some new neighbors? Don't you get nervous when you get new neighbors? Because you don't know what they're going to be like. You know, you're just like, oh, I hope they're not like the Clarksons. Playing that loud music, smoking that weed, that bud, flowers. Don't want them. Imagine if some of y'all are like, can I laugh at that in church? You can laugh at that in church. did your pastor just make a weed joke? He did. Welcome to Core Church. Imagine though, like imagine if Jesus, like imagine if he like literally moved in next door to you. He gets out and you're like, yeah, that's him. He's got the white robe on, long hair, beard. I recognize that anywhere. Saw in a painting one time. Now he's my neighbor. And what'd be great about Jesus? He'd be the perfect neighbor, right? He would be the neighbor you want, or do you? Because he's always watching you all the time, right? You just feel like you're on edge. He's like looking at your lawn going, You're like, I'm trying. You look at him, he's out cleaning his pool, and the next thing you know, he walks across it, and you're like, what was that? You're like, this is strange, because he only goes to the grocery store like once a month, and he only comes back with 2 loaves of bread and some fish sticks. But John says that Jesus made his home among us. Did you know that Christianity is the only religion where God came to us? Every other religion says you got to work your way there. You got to work your way. You've got to prove yourself. You have to earn God's love. If you've ever felt that way, I want to tell you today that that is not our God. He came to you in your brokenness, in your mess, and he says, I love you. He came to wrap his arms around you. So let's just contemplate this for just a moment. What would compel God to leave heaven and come to this broken world? Why would he do that? Let's look back at what John said in John chapter 1, verse 14. Let's look at the second half of that verse. He says this. He answers it by saying he, that's Jesus, was full of what? Unfailing love. Unfailing love and faithfulness. If you're taking notes, I would like for you to write this down. If you're brand new, there's sermon notes in the chair back in front of you. But write this down. Jesus came to wrap my brokenness in his unfailing love. Jesus came to wrap my brokenness in God's unfailing love. It was love that compelled God to send his son to us. Think about this. How many of us would give up the comfort and convenience of the world as we know it to go live among the broken and forgotten? I can really only think of a few people, and one of those is a gentleman named John Yule. Most of you don't know John. John Leeds is one of our leaders of Core Movement in Africa. If you're new, we have churches in Africa, 85 churches. Many of them are underground. Some of them are in South Sudanese refugee camps. I'm sorry, that's a picture of John right there. So I took this picture of John when we were headed to one of the refugee camps. This is my favorite picture from the whole trip, because John's a hero to me. I didn't know what a refugee camp was. I'd never been. I'd heard about them, and then I experienced it. Laura and I went and were on the ground. And I've been to a lot of hopeless places, and I would tell you that a refugee camp is just about as hopeless as it possibly gets. These South Sudanese have fled their country because of religious persecution and because of famine. And they've ended up in these refugee camps. Many of them are up in the desert where they don't have food. We sent a bunch of food to them recently, and they have their water supply is always getting cut off, and the pipes are breaking all the time. They have makeshift homes. They can't work in their communities. It's devastating poverty. And that's where John is. What's crazy is 30 years ago, John had an opportunity to leave the refugee camp. The United Nations came in and said, John, we've got your paperwork, and we want to send you to Australia. And they were going to send him to Australia, and they were going to help him find a job and begin a new life with his family. Who would not want that? That's what they're all waiting for. But not John. John says, no, I'm gonna stay. Who does that? Who gives up comfort and convenience to stay? And he stayed, and to this day, 30 years later, he still lives there and works and ministers among the refugees in that area. And because of John, thousands and thousands of people have come to Christ. This is Jesus. This is what the prophet Isaiah is talking about here. This is who he is. This is what he did. He gave up his throne in heaven to come and live in this messed up, broken world. We are all broken. Come on, tell somebody next to you, you're broken. You're broken. You're broken. Some of you came with family from distance. You're like, I've been waiting to tell my brother-in-law that for years. Thank you for the permission. But we're all broken. We're all messed up. We all have regrets. We have failures, and we all live with insecurities, fears, and doubts. And so what does it look like for God to wrap our brokenness in his unfailing love? Well, Isaiah, I think, gives us a picture of this, where he says this, and back in verse 6, Isaiah 9, verse 6, he says this, he will be called what? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Wonderful Counselor, that's wisdom. Mighty God, that's miracles. There's one of two things that I know every person in this world needs. Anytime you're going through a difficult time, a difficult season, a struggle, a hardship, something that's got you confused, you're going to need one of two things. You're either going to need wisdom or you're going to need miracles. You might want to write that down. These are two things I guarantee you will always need. And these are two things that you can pray for that God says he will give to us because of his love for us. Wisdom and miracles. And sometimes you need both, right? Sometimes you need wisdom, sometimes you need miracles, but sometimes you need both. I mean, let's just take the Christmas story. Mary and Joseph, wisdom and miracles. I mean, think about the story in the reality of the story. We don't know how old Mary was, but it is believed that she was probably a young teenage girl. And suddenly, she has this visitation from an angel. At least, if an angel shows up in your room and start speaking to you, you gonna tell anybody about that? No, probably not, because everybody's gonna think you're a little nuts. No different 2,000 years ago. So Mary, she has the angel who visits her, and the angel says, hey, Mary, you've been chosen. You're gonna give birth to the Messiah. I mean, think about that for just a moment. You're gonna give birth to the Messiah. And she's like, how? I'm not married. I ain't ever been with a man. And the angel says, it's going to be a miracle. It's going to take a miracle for this to happen. The angel visits Joseph, does the same thing. And Joseph's like, hey, wait, hang on. What are you talking about? I, for the record, never been with Mary. Please make sure your parents know that. And he's like, what do you mean she's going to? And he's like, oh, they needed wisdom and they needed miracles. It says it right in the scripture. When you look at the story, it says that Mary, after the visit from the angel, it says that she was confused and disturbed. Yeah, of course she was. After the angel visited Joseph, it says that he pondered what was said to him. I mean, parents, those of you that are parents, think about how hard it is to raise the kids you have right now. Imagine it's the Son of Almighty God. That's who I'm raising? How do you put God in timeout? I mean, and I think every parent has had this said to you where you're trying to explain something to your kid and they're like, I know, we know. And every parent wants to go, giggle, giggle. But for Mary and Joseph, Joseph starts talking to Jesus and Jesus goes, I know. He's like, he does. How do I work with this? They needed wisdom and they needed miracles. And so do you and I. What's got you frustrated? What's got you overwhelmed? What's stealing the joy and the peace of Christmas in your life? Maybe you're staring down a difficult decision. I mean, do I go this way? Do I go this way? Or I don't even know which way to go. You can ask for wisdom. And God says, I love you so much, I will give it to you. All you gotta do is ask. Maybe it's an uncertain future. You come to the end of 2025 and you're trying to figure out where you're even headed in 2026. Ask for wisdom. Is it a broken relationship right now? Is it somebody who's not gonna be there for Christmas? Or is it somebody who is gonna be there for Christmas? You know, and you're trying to figure out how do I navigate that? Or my goodness, we got what, like 4 days until the big day? Till the stockings and the presents drop? And you're looking at your bank account? And you're trying to figure out, I don't know if I can put the gifts, I don't know if I'm gonna get them under the tree, and if I do, I don't know how we're gonna make this happen. He's the God of miracles. Come on, turn to somebody and encourage him. Say, he's the God of miracles. He's the God of miracles. Come on, turn to somebody else and tell him, he's got you and he's heard your prayer. He's got you and he's heard your prayer. This is who our God is. This is what he does. He is so full of unfailing love. Isaiah says that Jesus is wonderful counselor. He says that he is mighty God. Words are hard to put. How do you wrap words around God? You know, how do you put words to describe who God is? Well, he's trying. And this word wonderful, maybe this will help us. This word wonderful here means astonishing or marvelous. The word mighty means warrior or champion. So like if you need wisdom and miracles, come on somebody, you gotta let the wonderful counselor, the astonishing, marvelous wisdom of God, you've gotta let the warrior and the champion wrap you in his unfailing love. So not only is he a wonderful counselor and mighty God, but Isaiah says back in verse 6 that he will be called what? He'll be called Everlasting Father. Here in a couple of months, pretty excited. We got our men's and women's conferences coming back. It's gonna be here in a couple of months. Really excited about this. If you want the super early bird special and get registered today, you can. There's information out in the lobby on how you can register for the men's and the women's conferences. I'm excited about our men's conference. Quit Playing with Lions is back for year 3. And at this conference, if you've never been to it, we talk about really what it means to be a godly man or what it means to be a godly father. And it's really 3 simple things that I would encourage you to remember: provider, protector, priest. Every man in this place, just let me talk to you. What does it mean to be a godly man? Not just a man. The world has its definition of what a man is, but what's God's definition of a man? And what's God's definition of a godly father? I think whether you're dad or not, most men here, you one day you desire to be a father. What does it mean to be a godly father? It means that you are the provider. Does that mean your wife can't work? No. Does it mean your wife can't make more money than you? No. But it does mean this, that when times get hard, when things get difficult, you go get the extra job. You go get the second job, the third job. You do whatever it's got to be done to provide and take my family, they're counting on me. I still remember years ago when Laura and I, we had our first child, little baby boy. It was his first Christmas, and we did not have enough money to put gifts around the tree. And I didn't say, woman, you need to go get a job. First of all, don't ever call your wife woman. That ain't ever going to play. I love saying that to her every once in a while. I go, woman? And she just looks at me like, you going to talk to me like that? No, ma'am. No, I'm not. But I didn't tell her to go get a job. I went and got an extra job. And I still remember I worked at Kroger's grocery store in the produce section so that we could put gifts under the tree for my son. Guys, you're called to be the provider of your home, but not just the provider, you're called to be the protector. Every night, end of the night, I go down, I make my rounds around the house, and I make sure every door is locked. Can the ladies in the house do that? Of course they can. I should clarify that real quick here. Some of you are new, and you're like, ladies? There's three ladies. I don't have a harem. It's Laura's mom and Aunt Mary, who I spoke about earlier, live with us. But I've done this since my kids were little. I'm the one who goes around and locks the door. Why do I do that? Because my wife can do that. But I do that just to symbolically say, I got you. You can count on me. I'm going to protect you. We walk down the street. We walk in a parking lot. Guess where I am? I'm always on the outside. I'm always out where the cars are. Why do I do that? Just so she knows I got you and I'm protecting you. But it's not just about physical protection, but it's about emotional and mentally protecting them. This world, men, this world is so cruel to you ladies. So cruel. You young ladies, I don't know how you do it. I mean, the pressure that's on you to try to measure up and be this or be that, and all of you are like feeling, I just fall short. I mean, gosh, look at me and what I'm wearing and how and what's this and happening to me. Men, your wives, your daughters, and your sons are getting beat up by the world. And when they come in, what they need to know is there's going to be a dad who's going to protect their heart. It's going to say, I got you. I don't care what they say about you at school. I don't care what they say about you at work. I don't care about what the media says about you. I love you, and you're beautiful, and you're amazing, and I believe in you. And you're going to go out, you're going to take on the world, and you're going to do something great. You got to protect your family. But also, you're called to be the priest of your home. What does that mean to be the priest of your home? It means to be the spiritual leader of your home. This is not your wife's job. It's not your son or daughter's job. Men, this is your job. Listen, you got to be in the Word every day. Every day? Every day. Do not call yourself. Let me talk to those of you who follow Jesus. Men. Let me talk just the men. This is the weirdest thing to say at Christmas time, and I apologize, but no, I don't. I wouldn't say it. Isn't that funny? You say, I apologize, and they say it anyway. But those of you who are men, who are followers of Jesus, do not call yourself a godly man and not be a man of the word. You are not a godly man. You are not a godly man. A godly man says, I'm going to have my face in the word of God. A godly man humbles himself and says, I can't do this alone. This is too hard. Too many people are counting on me. I need wisdom and I need miracles, and I'm going to find it in the word of God. Listen, the enemy doesn't take a day off. Why would you? Don't take a day off. So this is a picture. I said all that to say, this is a picture of our everlasting Father. You might want to write this down. God is my provider. In other words, he says, I got you. I'm going to take care of you. What do you need? You need some presence? I got you. I'm going to help you. Psalm 34:10 says this, those who trust in the Lord, those who trust in the Lord, say it with me, will lack no good thing. So God is my provider, but God is also my protector. He's my protector. He watches over me physically. He watches over me emotionally and mentally. The psalmist said this in Psalm 3:3, you, O Lord, are what? a shield around me. He is a shield around me. Like, think about this. When I am wrapped in God's love, the enemy has to go through him to get to me. Oh, that's good news. Somebody say amen to that. Amen? That's who he is. He is your provider. He is your protector. And the last one I want you to write down is this. Jesus is my high priest. Jesus is my high priest. Throughout the New Testament, we see that Jesus stands before the Father. And he says he is constantly interceding for us like the priest in the Old Testament did. But he is the perfect priest. And he stands and he intercedes on our behalf, securing our salvation through his blood that was shed on Calvary's tree. Boy, that's good news. Somebody turn to somebody and tell them that's some good news. That's some good news today. Not only that, let's go back to verse 6, but how do we know how much he loves us? What is his love like? It says he will be called what? Prince of Peace. Like, forget all the wars in the world. Let's talk about the one that's waging inside all of us right now. You know, we take prayer requests, and every prayer request that comes in, we pray over for 30 days, and we want to know how we can pray for you, so you can grab a prayer card that's in the chair back there. We would love to pray for you. But what does this look like for us? You look around on Christmas, you think everybody's got it together, right? Come on, tell somebody you look good. Turn to somebody, tell them, say, you look good today. You look good. You look good. You look good, man. But the truth behind that smile is conflict. Is a war that's raging. The things we say to ourselves and about ourselves, we don't need anybody else to beat us up, right? Listen to some of these prayer requests that have come in from these seats. I'm fighting depression. It's hard to climb out of. I feel defeated. I feel lonely. I feel isolated. I feel tired. I just want to know what it looks like to have a family again. Worry is eating me up. Anxiety is on me. I'm tired of that voice. When something slight happens, it tells me I'm not enough. This one says I'm dealing with anxiety, eating disorder, expectations, fear. This one says broken relationship. Behind that smile, it's a broken relationship. This one here says, I'm dealing with pain of loss and grief. If that's you today, and if you're struggling to find peace, I just stand here to tell you this is why Jesus came, to wrap you in his unfailing love. Got a series that we're going to be kicking off in January called Mindset Reset. I want to encourage you that if you're struggling with peace right now, be here every Sunday in January. This is going to really help you reset your mind on the things of God and what he says about you and what he believes about you and what you should be believing about yourself as a child of God. Let's go back to Isaiah, his prophecy. And in verse 7, he says this, the what? The passionate commitment of the Lord will make this happen. You can tell the depth of someone's love by the distance they're willing to travel to see you. Some of you, maybe you travel. How many of you traveled, are guests here today? You're from out of town. Would you just raise your hand if you're a guest from out of town? We've got a couple here, some over here. Okay, all right, good. So come on. Turn to whoever you came with and say, that's love. It's love. How many of you traveled over 100 miles? Anybody come over 100 miles? You came over 100 miles? 100 miles? 100 miles? 100 miles? Okay. Okay, well, I didn't know it was going to turn into this. Okay. How about 500? Anybody come more than 500? You came more than 500? How about more than 1,000? Anybody come more than 1,000? You came more than 1,000? Really? Okay. 2,000? Anybody come more than 2,000? How about 4,800 miles. Anybody come 4,800 miles? You're like, Brad, that's pretty specific. Yes, it is, because Amadeo's mom came all the way from France. Yes. Now, she does not speak English, has no idea why we're clapping right now. But Amadeo, I'm going to embarrass your mom. Would you have ask her to stand for me, if she wouldn't mind doing that? I'd like for her to stand. Let's see if she'll stay. Yeah. That's love. That's the love of a mother for a son. She's like, keep me from my son's baptism? No way. Not be with my child on Christmas? I'm going to go 4,800 miles. This is the love that God has for you. He left heaven, came all the way to this earth to wrap you in his unfailing love. And it's my prayer, as Paul said in Ephesians 3:19 when we started, it's my prayer that you will experience the love of God, not just know the love of God, because it's unknowable. It's not possible, but that you would experience his love this Christmas. We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.